Let us turn to Isaiah 41 to 11. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, in the wilderness prepared the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out, and I said, what shall I cry? All people are like grass. And all their faithfulness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up, do not be afraid. Says to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lamb in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young.
So welcome to week two of our summer fun series. Feel free to turn your chairs around if you're in like a bad position or something. So as you've seen, we're kind of changing up service a bit just to make more time for us to enjoy each other and have fun together, get to know each other a bit more. And as part of that, the sermons will be a bit shorter. And the sermons are going to focus over the summer on paying attention to some parts of creation that we normally just overlook in the hustle of the year, and then hopefully seeing what they teach us about God in new and kind of different perspectives. So this second week, we're going to be thinking about grass and flowers. So last week we thought about the sea and the mountains. This week it's grass and flowers. Normally, I guess we just step over grass or flowers, or even just step on grass and flowers as we race through to our next event or wherever we're going. But today we're going to slow down and we're going to see what they teach us about God. So to start off with, my question to you on your tables is, well, these days plants are the kind of new pets. So hopefully there's a few green thumbs on each table. But my question is, what's the longest you've managed to keep a plant alive? Or if you have a lawn, if you're not a plant person, but you're more of a lawn guy, what's the most seasons you've gotten your lawn kind of consistently green? So just chat 30 seconds, not very long. Go for it. Longest time you've kept it alive. All right, I'll interrupt you guys there. I can hear some kind of plant war stories going around, some struggles. But what was it? Who has like the longest living plant or flower or something? 5 years. That's pretty good. What was it? Just a peacefully, 5 years. All right, nice. I think our peace lily is 2 years, so we've got a few more years on it. What about blue team? Any green thumbs there? I reckon you're a lawn guy, Steve. Yeah. Yeah, and then too hard. Yeah. Oh yeah. Okay. Interesting. 10 years. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. What about yellow table? Any? Oh yeah, a mango tree. How long did that last? Okay. Oh wow. Wow. That's. Oh wow. 24 years. Wow, that's a green thumb. That's pretty good. That's a long life for a plant. So when you want them to die, they won't die, and then. Yeah. So grass and flowers or plants, as we're talking about, are pretty fickle, right? Too much sun, too little sun. You want them to grow, you don't want them to grow, then weeds come and then like they just die randomly. I think we've got a number of plants in our house at the moment, and often they're on the brink of death. Like it's like, who knows what changed in the house, but like suddenly they're dying, right? So they're tough to keep alive. They're kind of fickle things. So I want you to keep that image in mind throughout the next few minutes when we think about grass and flowers. So Isaiah 40, which is our passage today, 1 to 11, is set in this time of exile. So the exile is when the Israelites were living in Babylon, because Babylon conquered Judah and then it sent the captives, the Israelites, to Babylon. And so in verse 1, it says, "Comfort, comfort my people. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and tell her her hard times, the times of punishment for her sin, are over." So it's this idea of restoration. They've been crushed deservingly, so they deserved it, but now God says comfort. So it's interesting to think for a second on, oh, no, actually, it's probably not worth mentioning because we're trying to keep the sermon short. Yeah. Yep. Let's skip that thought. We'll say that God is sending out his servants, whoever they are, right? It doesn't say who they are. Interesting to think about who they are, but it doesn't say. He's sending out his servants, and whoever they are, their goal is to deliver comfort to his people, Israel. The more interesting question is, what is the comfort? So verse 3, it says it's the coming of God himself to be with his people. A voice cries out from the wilderness, prepare the way for God. Everyone get ready and everything get ready. So mountains should be flattened out, valleys should be raised up so that there's nothing to hinder God getting to his people. It's like a flat road. It's a highway to God's people. The time of punishment's over and the time of comfort or the time of restoration is here. So that's the comfort. Verse 6, the glory of God, which is like saying the presence of God, will be revealed to everyone. And then the voice says again in verse 6, cry out. So everyone who hears this message of comfort, cry out to everyone else, because this is amazing news, right? God's coming. This is what Christianity is all about. It's what Old Testament is Judaism was all about. And why wouldn't that be amazing news? But their response is, look at the grass and the flowers. The grass withers and the flowers fall. They're fickle. When God just breathes on them, they die. And when he's talking about grass, it says he's talking about people. Surely the people are grass, he says. So it's a bit of an enigmatic response to that kind of news. God's coming, so why aren't you excited? And what do they mean then by this grass thing? Grass withers, flowers fall. To understand what he's getting at, you kind of need to look back a little bit before chapter 40. So before the exile, before chapter 40, most of the kings of Judah were terrible, but there were a few good kings. And one of those good kings was named Hezekiah. When he was in power, he tore down idols and he reestablished the priesthood and he reopened the doors of the temple, which were closed by the previous king. And he was generally a very faithful king. And then even when Jerusalem was surrounded by Assyria, which was this powerful nation that had destroyed all the bigger, stronger nations around Judah, and now they'd come for Judah itself, he had faith that God was stronger than the Assyrians. And he didn't fear and he didn't surrender to the Assyrians. And then one night, God rewards his faithfulness and he destroys 185,000 soldiers and the rest of the army flees. So this image of Hezekiah is that he's like a really faithful king. But even his faithfulness doesn't last forever. And that's what chapter 39 talks about. So towards the end of his life, King Hezekiah, the once very faithful king, becomes proud and he forgets God. And he shows off all the riches that God gave him to Babylon, shows him everything in the treasury, everything in the palace and all that sort of stuff. And so he was thinking that he himself was great for storing all this up, and he forgot God. And because of that, God punishes him by saying that everything you showed to the Babylonians in your pride, in later generations, that's going to be given to the Babylonians. And that's what the exile was. Everything that Israel had, everything that Judah had, was given to the Babylonians, including the people themselves. But Hezekiah had become so proud that he didn't even care. His response to that message from God was that he's happy as long as it doesn't happen in his lifetime. So even King Hezekiah, who was so faithful, willing to stand up to the Assyrians, was in the end completely fickle. So what do you think they mean when they say, surely people are grass? They mean, or Isaiah means, even the faithfulness of the most faithful king is just like grass. It eventually withers. And even if it's the most beautiful flower, it eventually dries up, because the breath of God will blow against it. Eventually, humanity and God will come into conflict. So sure, maybe God's coming back. Comfort, comfort, my people. Maybe he's coming back. Maybe that is good news. But you know what's going to happen? People will be faithful for a while, and then eventually they'll forget God again. And then God will punish them because they become proud or arrogant or whatever. So good news is not good news, because people are grass and flowers. Our faith might look beautiful for a while, but it's going to die. And that's a bit of a crisis, I think, because what's that mean for us? Because of what our church has gone through over the past couple of years, if you're still around and you're still coming to church now, if you're still following God, you're probably a person who has a strong faith. But what Isaiah is saying is that you're just a beautiful flower. You're just a beautiful flower that hasn't yet faded. No news, no matter how good, is good news for long, because people are fickle. So, like, what do we do about that? If human faith is like that, it doesn't last very long, just lasts as long as a flower, what can we do? There is a bit of hope in verse 8. The voice responds again to Isaiah's comment that people are grass and flowers. The voice says, grass withers and flowers fall, yep, but the word of God endures forever. Grass and flowers are fickle, but God is constant. So our human faithfulness will eventually dry up and wither, just give it enough time. But God, or even just his word, the breath that comes out of his mouth, that breathes against the grass and the flowers, even that word, that breath, lasts forever. So there's this hope that God's constancy can overcome humanity's fickleness. But while humans are fickle and act faithlessly, God says, comfort is coming. So which one wins? How much fickleness can God handle before he has to punish the faithlessness again? If you've got a good memory, the passage that we read today might sound familiar, and that's because it came from the Gospel of Mark right at the start, where Mark quotes this passage from Isaiah and quotes it in the context of saying that Jesus is coming, and actually the coming of Jesus is the coming of God. The years between Isaiah and Jesus were filled with more fickleness. More people that were once faithful became unfaithful. But when Jesus comes, which Mark says is God's coming, it means that God's word, or God's constancy, has overcome human fickleness. Despite the unfaithfulness of humanity in all that time, God kept his word and came to his people and brought them comfort. And then interestingly, if you think about the internal struggle within Jesus, there's kind of a parallel to that. There's a struggle between humanity and divinity within Jesus himself. From the perspective of grass and flowers, in the life of Jesus, you can see that the constancy of God overcomes the fickleness of man on that individual level. The fickleness of Jesus never overcame the constancy of Jesus. Because Jesus' human nature would have predisposed him to fickleness, to be unfaithful, and to wither like grass. But his godly nature would predispose him to constancy. And then you see that struggle at different points in his life. But ultimately, you see the victory of constancy, the victory of God, because he endured to the cross, despite what his human nature might have wanted. And that's got some deep resonance for us. If we look at our faith, we would probably say, at least at times, it's like a quickly fading flower. But within us as well, as members of the new covenant, we have the Spirit of God right within us, contending with our fickleness. And although it might not feel like it at certain times, we know that the constancy of God will win because we've seen it win in Jesus. So we can be confident both at an individual level and at a universal level that God's constancy will overcome our fickleness. So in verse 9, it tells the bringer of good news to go to the highest peak, to shout with the loudest voice, because it's very good news that although we're grass and flowers, God's word endures forever. So his promise of comfort will surely come. And then in verse 10 and 11, it gives us this picture of him coming both with strong arms to rule and gentle arms to carry lambs. So what do grass and flowers teach us about God? It teaches us that God is totally different to grass and flowers. While things in this world, especially us, might be fickle and unfaithful in different ways, God's constancy overcomes all that. So that's grass and flowers. Hopefully, it helps us pay more attention to the world and what God's saying. All right, let me pray. Father, thank you for creating this world with all these different things in it. And thank you that these different things, through your word, speak to us as well. Help us to understand our human flaws and how by nature we're just fickle and fading and slowly withering. Thank you that you've given us your spirit, though, which is unfading, which is constant, and that contends within us to make us more and more holy, more and more Christ-like. We thank you that you yourself are constant and that your word stands forever. And that when you say you will comfort us, you will. When you declare us sinless and declare us your children, we truly are. And we pray that that will kind of travel with us for the next year as we head into 2023. Amen.